What's up, everyone in podcast land? This is Brian.
And I'm Blake.
And we are from the Not Religious Podcast, here to talk to you about one of our sponsors, PillarOfHopeApparel.com.
All right, Brian, they got some shirts, they got some hats, they got phone cases, whatever you need. It's awesome.
And if you go right now and go to your cart, fill it up, put in the promo code NRP116, you'll get 10% off your order.
Jeez, 10%?
10%. That's PillarOfHopeApparel.com. Promo code NRP116.
Check them out.
Have you heard this?
No. What is this? Yes, we are.
Where my real is at?
Dude, RIP. That's all I got to say. You,
do you know who that is? I did.
I wasn't expecting that. And you know, I was pondering this earlier. I said, I always try to like catch Brian off guard. I really don't have anything to catch him off guard with this week. I'm just going to do a regular episode. You got me.
Suck it.
You got me. Suck it. Well,
do you know who that was?
No. Who was that?
Elon Musk.
Oh, okay. I have heard that he did a song about Harambe. Okay.
Well, there it is.
Well, there it is. All right. Yeah. What is he, Tesla's CEO?
Well, he was, yeah.
Was, yeah.
They made him step down because he smoked pot or something.
Doesn't he believe in flat earth?
He believes in all kinds of
something.
Crap.
He's a
billionaire playboy genius.
He could believe in whatever he wants to.
Yeah, he sent stuff to space.
Okay.
He sent a car, a Tesla, to space.
What?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I missed that. It's a waste of a Tesla.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Anyway.
Welcome to the Not Religious Podcast, everybody. I'm Blake.
And I'm Brian.
And we're back this week for another Easter-filled episode. Ooh, chocolatey goodness. It's so good.
Ooh, it's so rich and velvety.
Rich and velvety. And,
that's all you got.
That's all I got. Had some good responses from last week. I've gotten a few messages. It was like, wow, I didn't realize about Easter and how things are so misconstrued.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's cool.
So, you're welcome. And this week, we're going to continue, not with facts, but just our viewpoints on Easter services.
Yay.
Very important time of year that we're in right now, especially for the church as a whole.
Yeah, it's very, this is what separates us from other religions and other belief systems.
It's
basically the fact that we have a God and a Savior who rose from the dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, I have a little bit of a news segment here. That's right. A 99-year-old woman donated her body to science. She had no idea her organs were in the wrong place.
What?
Have you read that?
No. Well, I saw you put it on the link, but I didn't read it.
All right. So a 99-year-old organ woman may have died not knowing that many of her organs were in...
Oregon organs.
Okay.
I bet you didn't make that connection.
I didn't. No, I didn't. But she died not knowing that many of her organs were not in the right place. Rose Marie Bentley is thought to be the oldest person with a rare condition called situs inversus with levocardia.
Okay.
Meaning that her heart was in the wrong place, but her liver and her heart was in the right place, as it should be, which means she probably went on to be with the Lord. But her liver and other abdominal organs grew on the left side of her body, the opposite of typical human anatomy. Medical students in Oregon Health and Science University of in Portland discovered Bentley's condition during a gross anatomy class. Is gross anatomy class like the name of a class, or is gross being used as an adjective?
It's the name of a class.
Okay. That's so gross. I got this gross anatomy class.
No, it's
Cameron Walker, an assistant professor of anatomy, said his students first noticed that the blood vessels in Bentley's chest were oddly formed, but didn't realize the extent of the variation until later in the semester. When we looked at the organs of her abdominal cavity, which was the organs of the digestive tract, they were transposed entirely right to left, Walker said. I'd never seen this before, and the students were every bit as fascinated. Situs inversus with levocardia occurs in about one of every 22,000 births, and the prognosis is typically poor, according to a study published in the Singapore Medical Journal. There have been just two documented cases of patients with this condition living into their 70s, according to the research. So this lady went on to be 99 years old with all her organs just a ramble jambled.
Just a ramble jambled.
Just a ramble jambled. Bentley, a mother of five, enjoyed working at her church. See there, she did. Her heart was
her heart
in the right place.
Was in the right place.
Just the rest of her organs were all switched.
God, love her.
Old switcheroo. Enjoyed working at her church and at the animal feed store that she ran with her husband, James.
Sounds about right.
Yep. My mom would think this was so cool. That was her daughter.
Her daughter. Okay.
She would be tickled pink that she could have that she could teach something like this.
Who talks like that?
She would, me. She would probably get a big smile on her face, knowing that she was different but made it through.
Oh.
So there you go, kids.
There you are.
And that concludes our news story this week. I'm sorry. That's just so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Anyway. So let's we'll go ahead and hop on to our topic here. So, like you touched on here, Byron, Christianity as a whole, the church as a whole, really settle in on two holidays every year, that being Easter and Christmas. You've got, what are they called, the Christians that only attend those services?
C&E
Christians. It's a big time of the year. You need to make sure that everything's on point because you have a lot of people who don't normally visit churches go into some church just because it's Easter. Mother's Day is also right up there, but not quite as much.
Yeah, it's like Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, I guess because you want to make your mom happy by going to church with her. And then homecoming. But homecoming is like only like that's one of those things that's, I don't know, dated. Not everyone does a homecoming anymore because it's not 1945. And, you know, we don't need to pack the tabernacle with, you know, all the people who've moved away. So a lot of your churches who are with the times don't do a homecoming anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting fact, just around us, I did a 60-mile radius. So that pretty much covers a good bit, some of the big towns around us.
Yeah.
So Columbia and Florence and, you know, out towards Monk's Corner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Out towards Augusta. Not quite to Augusta or Charleston or Charlotte, but it covers a lot of the big towns around us. 60-mile radius. Now, this is just what I could find online. How many Easter services do you think are happening? And when I say Easter service, I'm not talking about, I'm saying something other than your traditional preaching. I'm talking about a program. I'm talking about a special service here. How many do you think in a 60-mile radius from us?
Well, just in a 60-mile radius of us, the amount of churches that we have is unbelievable.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to try to guess that.
Mm-mm. We're into thousands, I think.
Of churches?
Of churches, at least. Yeah,
definitely.
So I'd say somewhere in the thousands of
Easter of services.
Special Easter
yeah,
services.
Special Easter services.
You're a lot closer than what I thought you were gonna be. So
maybe my organs are all mismatched. My brain is flipped around.
So I included like sunrise service. Okay. I included that. I included programs and plays, including like children's programs, because a lot of people do the children's programs, or a special reenactment of something that a church was advertising that was different than their normal service. Mm-hmm. 636.
Wow.
In a 60-mile radius.
Jeez. Just from Sumter.
Yeah, 60 miles from Sumter.
From Sumter. Yes, that's insane. So, yeah, put that into perspective of the country.
I know.
The world.
The world. Oh,
good Lord. It's very important. It's a very important time of year. And everyone's trying to plug in. Everyone's got something planned for Easter.
Yeah, there's a shtick for everything.
Yeah.
And people normally bring their A game.
Yeah. I've got a poll a list of facts, just 7 startling facts, an up-close look at church attendance in America. And we can read through some of these just to see where we're at, Easter aside, just where we're at with church attendance in America. Okay. Number one, less than 20% of Americans regularly attend church.
Wow. I wonder how many people claim to be Christian.
A lot more claim to be Christian. But not a that number is going down as well. But yeah, there's a lot more that claim to be Christian, but the number of church attendance or people who attend church is way down. Less than 20% in the entire country. So, number two, American church attendance is steadily declining. So not only is it less than 20%, that number is going down all the time. Just keeps getting lower and lower and lower.
Where are they going? What's happening to them? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
I think it may not all be negative. It may just be the changing of the times. Technology has advanced so much. I mean, dude, I can go on YouTube and find a sermon about anything.
Not only that, like we've talked about it at great length, this new generational wave of believers they're just fed up with the traditional BS. They're done. They can see straight through what's being shoved down their throats, and they're questioning things. So that might be a part of it too, them not finding an outlet for what they're looking for because they're so tired of the regular church crap.
Right. Number three, only one state is outpacing its population growth. Can you guess what state that is?
Alaska.
No, but you're close.
Hawaii.
It's Hawaii.
Is it?
Yeah. So in Hawaii, 13.8% regularly attend church. 6.3% attend evangelical church. 5.7% attend Catholic churches. And then 1.8% attend mainline denominations.
And you're going to see that a lot. If you look at state by state, the percentages of believers who are going to church, the evangelical category is going to be probably the top one in just about every state because, like we've talked about before, evangelicals are doubling down. They're starting to see this wave of people who want something different. There's all kinds of names that have been given to this, you know, group of people, ex-evangelical, post-Christian.
Yeah.
But the evangelical, I don't know, genre, they're doubling down, man. I mean, because they see what's happening and they're losing.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, all the cards on the table, we got to amp it up.
Number four, mid-sized churches are shrinking.
the smallest and largest churches are growing. Here's a quote from one of the people that they have in this article. The best way I can describe it is that a lot of people believe in their upgrading to first class when they go to a larger church. It seems highly likely that some of the people in those mid-sized churches are the ones leaving and going to the larger churches. So you can probably tie that into just, you know, what's the biggest church in your area, a mega church, one that's growing in popularity. And are their intentions always true? Of course not.
Right.
I mean, it's about status and it's about how people see you and stuff like that.
Well, we've talked about Furtick and them many a times. I love Stephen Furtick. I love listening to him, man.
Sure.
God, he is such a he delivers a message.
Yeah, he's great.
The band is awesome. I mean, they do great things. The church itself does great things in the community.
Right.
All that being said, are they 100% probably on the up and up? Probably not.
No.
You know, there's cracks.
It's still human beings who run that.
That's
place.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. On. But I can see the allure of leaving, say your church runs. Now, see, I only know this from a Church of God standpoint of what the regular attendance was. So a small church was, you know, 50 was probably your threshold for a small church. A medium-sized church was probably 50 to 200, maybe a little bit more. But after like 200, like if you had 500 people, you were considered a big church.
Right.
The church I worked at one point in time, you probably had 7 or 8, sometimes more than that, 100 people in that church.
Yeah.
So it was considered a very large church by standards of the Church of God, you know, standards. I don't know if that's the same across the board or not.
Yeah.
I would assume so. I would assume Baptist and Lutheran. I would assume that would be the same model of that. But I can definitely see the mid-sized churches are the ones suffering right now. Because the smaller churches, those are mostly your generational churches.
Yeah.
You know, where
just enough to get by. And you've got same people that have
great grandma went there, grandma went there, daddy goes there, we go there, type deal. So that's more.
There's no convincing those people to leave. There's no. No.
I mean, that place could burn down and they would meet.
Still go.
Yeah.
On the ashes of the church.
On the ashes of the church. Just because that's their, like I said, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
And that might be a lot of, that might just be a Southern thing. I don't know. I need to reach out to.
I think it's typically more of a Southern thing.
Yeah. I need to reach out to some of our people across the globe here and just across the country and see if that's a regular occurrence, you know.
Yeah.
I would assume with a generational thing, I would assume that eventually it's going to die out because the attrition rate, you know, not everyone's kids go to church or become Christians. So eventually those places are just going to die out, I would assume.
Yeah.
What's number five?
Number five, established churches 40 to 190 to 190 years old are on average declining.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. The declining number sends a message to church leaders content with only building their own churches. Olson says, I hear people say, why do we need new churches? Why don't we help our established churches just do better? Or do we have enough churches? If we keep doing the same things, we'll continue to have the same results, decline.
Yeah.
Established churches are the base, and new churches build on top of that. Using established churches to keep up with population growth is just not going to work.
Yeah, I think my view on this here is basically don't open a church in the same city or town when there's already one doing what the vision of that church is doing. You know what I'm saying? There's only so many ideas that haven't been done or ways of doing things. Now, if you're opening, say you're in a small southern town, and by small, we'll use our town for example. Opening a church here would have to be, you would have to be very, you would have to buck tradition very much. Like, it would have to be gay affirming. Yeah. It would have to be multicultural. Not just, and when I say multicultural, I'm talking Muslim,
yeah,
Buddhist, whatever you want as well. You know what I'm saying?
There's a difference. Trust me. Just because multicultural doesn't mean that you have race. Black people who attend right. your
church. No, because that's if they're Christians, that's they live within the same culture you do.
Yeah.
Bikers, you know, convicts, you know, less fortunate, whatever. It would really have to flip crap upside down around here to do that. If you're in a bigger city, Charlotte, Atlanta, St. Louis, I think you could get by with opening a church that is a standard go by the book type deal.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get away. And if you do, it's not going to last very long.
Right.
I mean, we know of a couple churches that have opened and just aren't doing well or had to close or whatever. Not just in our town, you know, all over the country.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah, I think if you're doing something that someone else is already offering, there's no use in doing it.
Yeah.
Don't open a lemonade stand next to a lemonade stand unless you have some kicktail lemonade that's different than that lemonade.
Good lemonade.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Number six, the increase in churches is only a fourth of what's needed to keep up with the population growth. So Stetzer is another person that they interview in this thing. Although ultimately America will continue to see a great dying off of churches, Stetzer says he is encouraged to see a renewed interest in missiology. And now is it Christology or Christology?
Christology.
Christology, that's what I figured. As well as churches that are striving to change themselves. Quote, they're asking what a biblical church would look like, he says. But he advises church planters to customize their church to their community rather than copy an existing model. So there you go. Like you just said, don't build a lemonade stand next to a lemonade stand unless you're
doing some lemonade
something different.
Completely different.
Right.
Chocolate lemonade.
Whoa. I bet we could market that. and finally, number seven, in 2050, the percentage of the U.S. population attending church will be almost half of what it was in 1990.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that happening unless this new fire under people doesn't catch this new, I don't know what to call it, revolution of believers doesn't drastically change how we see Christianity now, which I think it very well could do.
Yeah,
I think we're sitting on the cusp of just completely revamping Christianity as it's known. And I think it would be probably a 20 to 30 year process for it to actually take shape.
Right. So there's a look at where we're at with church attendance as a whole. Like I said, Easter aside, that's not even including Easter or anything. That's just church attendance in general.
Yeah.
Now I want to look at some Easter Sunday facts, on attendance. So, so like we mentioned earlier, the most popular church days are number one is Easter, number two, Christmas, number three, Mother's Day, and the fourth one being Homecoming. 71% of Americans identify themselves as Christian.
Okay. So there you go. 71%.
Yes.
And only 16% or 21% are actually attending
going to church
on a
regular
basis.
81% of Americans plan to celebrate Easter. Doesn't say that they're planning on attending church because only 50.5% plan to attend church on Easter Sunday.
Oh, okay.
You've got your percentages of what states really celebrate it the most and the least. And yeah, according to this map, most of it is in the southern region.
Yeah.
I think the South as a whole is definitely more of that percentage of saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't go to church as often as I should. That's what they always say, as often as I should.
Yeah.
But I'm a Christian.
I think what it is, I wouldn't say, they would probably say they're a Christian.
Yeah.
I would say they believe in God. and they have an idea of who Jesus is. And at one point in time, they you know, ask for forgiveness of their sins, or were baptized, or whatever. Now, are they living as, you know, a follower of Christ? Probably not.
Yeah,
probably not. But that goes back to the whole theology thing. Like, if you're a Calvinist, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you freaking got saved once, you know, you're always going to be saved. Once saved, always saved, or whatever. Yeah. But that just goes to the argument. If you're any of those things, you know, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, no one has it right.
Yeah.
And if you think you have it right, don't ever talk to me about it.
Because we'll tell you, you're wrong.
I'll walk away.
Yeah.
Because so no one has it figured out.
50% of America plans to attend church on Easter.
Yeah, that's a huge percent.
That is half the country is planning on going to church. So that's why the stress and importance of how you come across on Easter Sunday is so essential, because that is the number one most popular church day.
Yeah, and it's a big family day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Everyone has their tradition. You go to church and then you go eat with someone in your family most of the time. So what we see here, and if we're looking at it from a church standpoint, is we need to capitalize on this day the most. We need to pour everything we got into this day. And that's what you see tend to happen.
Yeah.
They bring out their A game for Easter Sunday.
Right. And a lot of people have different ways of doing it. And
Children's programs,
big
theatrical programs, sunrise services, small reenactments, communion services. There's a lot of different ways. A reading of you know, the story of how the passion and everything like that. So there's a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that people bring their A game.
Yeah.
But begs the question of, let's just take an average person. Let's say you take a 48-year-old guy who lives in the South, Midwest, South, any of these countries, states that has a strong Christian following, which 71% of Americans claim to be Christian. But you have this dude and his mom, he's been to church, you know, he was in the youth group as a kid or whatever, or he wasn't. No, let's go average. Okay, so let's go, he wasn't in the youth group as a kid. He visited church here and there. He dated a girl or two. He had strong belief systems. One of his buddies wears a cross around his neck. So let's take that guy. And his mom or his aunt or whoever invites him to come to church with her before they do Easter Sunday dinner. And he goes. What, in my mind, I would be thinking, what would we want this guy to experience?
Mm-hmm.
I would beg to say a good message instead of this Easter story.
Yeah.
And people are probably going to burn me at the stake for saying that. But chances are he's heard the Easter story before.
There's a lot of people who know the story about what happened to Jesus and the resurrection and the crucifixion. A lot of people are aware of that.
Yeah.
And
I would go twofold here. Number one, it is a crazy roller coaster of emotions, the story of what happened to Jesus and his background and what's happening. And I mean, that's a crazy, crazy story.
Yeah.
Filled with all kinds of emotions. And then on the flip side of that, I mean, Is that what you're wanting to have a person go off of, is an emotional experience? I don't know. I wouldn't think so.
No.
What's going on, podcast land? If you ask my wife what I own more than anything, she will quickly tell you that it's t-shirts. And guess what? I'm about to add to that collection thanks to Faith Attire. Since 2012, Faith Attire has been stacking up an incredible collection of streetwear with a message. T-shirts, hats, baseball tees, the whole nine yards. Their excellence is displayed through their products, but their vision and purpose is even greater. Head on over to faithattire.co to browse their catalog and use the promo code NRP116 to get 15% off your order. That's NRP116. Faith Attire, apparel for the selfless.
Okay, so I have a buddy,
yeah,
who attended a church for an Easter service. Mm-hmm. I was in the military with this guy, and he lived in town here. So he attended a church for an Easter service, and they do it all. I mean, 30-foot cross in the air.
Yeah,
they reenact everything. I mean, there's like 50 or 60 people in the program. I mean, full choir.
Yeah,
they do it up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's a very well thought out, well planned production, and I mean it goes, man, and it flows, and it tells the story. Mm-hmm. He went to it. So at the end of the service, the head pastor comes out and kind of gives an altar call or an invitation, and my buddy, who, you know, he would consider himself one of the 71%, believes in God, kind of knows about Jesus, knows the whole story, probably got baptized as a kid. He and his wife just came just to come. So he came. I didn't know he was, you know, going through any of this stuff. I ran into him at Walmart.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey. I was like, oh, hey, well, you know, how's it going? This, that, and the other. What are you doing now? This. And so Christianity came up because he found out, I was in the ministry, this, that, and the other. He said, I went to this Easter service, and it was big, and it was, you know, bam. And then I felt so much, and I cried, and, you know, it was just intense and awesome. And I really thought I felt God moving. And he said, at the end of the thing, the preacher, you know, said, the pastor said, if you gave your heart to the Lord, blah, 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 raise your hand. He said, I raised my hand, this, that, and the other. And he said, and then they did another song, and then it was done.
Over.
Over.
Nothing else.
And he
else.
Said, I kind of sat there, and I was like, oh, all right. And then I walked out into the lobby. And walked out into the parking lot, and then I went home. Just left nothing. With this huge emotional experience I just had.
Yeah.
And he said, for like a week or two, I wrestled with the thought, is this real? Is this something, you know, what just happened? And, you know, he was going back and forth, and he said, but no one ever followed up with me.
And that's what makes me mad.
Yeah. He was like, I was just left. And he said, so screw church. He said,
that's a shame.
He said, I have no intention of ever going back to church again. He said, imagine you go to the best movie in the world and it changes your life. And then the movie's over. And you're just sitting in the theater after the lights come on with no direction.
Yeah.
What do I do with myself now?
It was exactly how Infinity War was. This is the best movie ever. Yeah. And then it was like, all right.
One of the most pivotal, life-changing experiences a person can have. And you just leave them there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, man. That just makes me mad.
So it begs the question, you know, this place that did it up and all that, was it worth it?
Yeah.
To them, I would say it probably was worth it, because at the end of the day, they counted hands that were raised.
Right.
You know?
But where's the follow-up?
Yeah, so you'd have to ask yourself, what's the purpose? What's the intention of us doing this program?
Yeah.
If we're, or communion or sunrise? What's the purpose of having this special service because it's different than our other service? What's the purpose? What's the intention behind it? And I think if you're going to throw everything you got at something, it has to be more than just a hand raise.
Yeah.
Because then without you're just entertaining Christians. And
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're just entertaining the people who come to your church.
Yeah.
You're just putting on a production for them.
Yep.
Or you're just pacifying them with a communion service. Or you're just pacifying them with a sunrise service. Or a telling of the biblical story of what happened in the Last Supper. Or whatever it may be. The passion story. You know, the pastor gets up behind a pulpit and reads the passion story of what happened. And Pontius Pilate and, you know, Judas and this, that, and then he reads that out loud. What's the point of doing that? What's your intention of doing that? Why do this service differently? What are you trying to get out of it? And I think it goes back to a whole mindset of, well, why do you have a church in the first place?
Yeah.
Is it just to entertain people on Sundays and Wednesdays and, you know, Thursdays?
Put on a good show.
Friday, whenever they come.
Yeah.
But what's the purpose of it?
Here's my biggest... Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You have all the music and you do everything. You put so much into it, but why? What is the purpose of it? Is it, I don't know. I feel like if you are doing all of this, it should have a
long lasting effect on those people.
The numbers you just read shouldn't be the way they are.
Yeah.
If this 636 churches around us are intentional with what they're doing, mm-hmm. the numbers should not reflect what they are reflecting. It should have a long-lasting effect. Even if you just do a third of the 50% of Americans that come, a third of the 50%, you would not be seeing a decline. You would not be seeing what we're seeing now, which is a total wash of morality and social injustice throughout our country.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be seeing it. So it makes me ask the question of, dude, what are you 636 people churches doing? You're just putting on a show.
That's all it is. And that's why it frustrates me so bad. And here's my biggest problem with doing an Easter program as opposed to just a regular type of service. So with the facts that we looked at of people who attend church, half the country is going to be attending church on a Sunday. That's your time to make an impression, okay? Pull out all the stops, like you mentioned. If it's one big show and people from that church, regular attenders and members, have to like rent out the first 10 rows in the sanctuary just so they can have a good seat and be sitting up front so they feel privileged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're forcing people to sit way in the back and uncomfortable and can't see anything, or God forbid if you have an overflow or something like that, you know?
Yeah, like if it's a it's a kid's Easter production.
Yeah.
You know, aunts and uncles and grandparents and friends are going to come see the kid's production.
Yeah.
But they're going to be forced to sit in the back.
Yeah.
Because you're right, because your regular church attenders are going to be saving seats all up in the front.
Yep.
And they're going to be, you know, territorial and I don't know.
Can you imagine just coming into a church and being like, we're too packed in here. We're going to put you in this, room and you can watch it on the screen. Like, crap, I could have stayed home and done that. You know what I mean?
I'll wait for that it to come out on.
Yeah. I'll just
DVD.
Wait for it to come out. Yeah. I mean, geez. And if you want to make that impression and that have that long lasting effect on these people, because you want to encourage them not only to, I mean, sure, come to your church, but just go to church in general.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, this place isn't for everybody,
But the story is for everyone.
But the story is for everybody.
The redemption story is for everyone.
Let me tell you about who Jesus was and what Jesus did for us in detail. And let me explain it to you. Here's a taste of what a normal church service is like here. Feel free to come back. You go to a program. They're not doing a program every Sunday. So it's all emotion, and you go out of there.
Think about it with the lights and the music and the actors.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you go back, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
There's time, there's money, there's so much effort that's put into getting these things ready. You got set designs, you got lights, you got costumes, you got makeup, time, effort, money put into this stuff. Why not put that into outreach?
Yeah.
All that money you just spent doing that, why not put it in outreach?
Well, the argument could be, well, this is outreach.
Shut up. It's not. It's not. It is not outreach. That is not outreach.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what's your intention? Because if your intention is you know, letting your church members save seats or, you know, when aunt and uncle come to see little Billy up front, who's going to be, you know, Judas, his big role is Judas in the church play, but they're forced to stand in the hallway or, like you said, watch it on a TV monitor, you know, in the hallway or something. What's your intention? Because if your intention is to bring people to Christ with your program, with your communion service, Sunrise, if your intention is to bring people to Christ and you're asking, if you're giving an invitation and you're counting hands and like that's what your intention is, stop pandering to your members. Stop pandering. Stop making it a production. Stop letting all those different things happen. Make it what you're trying to do. If you're trying to win souls to God, which is not your place to do in the first place, but anyway, if that's your intention and you're doing the hand raise thing, stop with all the other BS.
Yeah,
because what you tend to start doing is you start entertaining Christians.
Yeah,
and you know, I've been a part of programs and I've been a part of plays. I've helped plan them. I've helped direct them. I've helped, you know, write script and this, that, and the other. And I think, you know, I stopped doing it because I didn't agree with the intention of it.
Yeah.
But that's just on me. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my personal preference because I lost faith in the intention of what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I was able to recognize, wait, if I say I'm doing this for this, but my actions aren't leading me to that, I need to step away. Mm-hmm. I need not to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I did that, you know. Not toot my own horn, but I think that's what I think that's what you're supposed to do.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like if it becomes, if you're trying to put on a production and a play, or if you're trying to have your kids' choir do this, or if you're trying to do you bring in a band for you know your Resurrection Sunday service, or you actually move your service to a lakeside or something and do you know what I'm saying? If you're doing all of that, what is your intention? And if your intention is to win new people, then your actions need to follow up with your intention. If your intention is to help feed your present congregation, then your actions need to follow up with your intention. I would argue that 90% of the 636 programs or special events or whatever happening in the 60-mile radius of us, I would argue that their intention, their actions aren't going to follow their intention.
Not at all.
And it's a trap. Mm-hmm. They fall into a comfort level trap and they convince themselves that they're doing the right thing.
And I want to verify, too, why I think that it's not outreach. That doesn't qualify as outreach. I think putting on a good program for your friends and family that already attend that church, what did that do for the people who still don't have decent housing from the flood that was almost 4 years ago? You know what I mean? There's still people that are suffering from that almost 4 years later. Did your program help, you know, feed a homeless person today? Did it provide shelter for somebody? Did that program, give clothes to someone in need or, you know, a pair of shoes or something for a child just so they can go to school? You know what I mean? Yeah. Different things like. That's what I mean when I get frustrated when people want to classify certain things as outreach. I don't think that's outreach. I think it's a lazy approach to it. It's a cop-out.
Yeah, just because you invite people to your church or you open it to the public, that doesn't mean it's outreach. That's more of an inreach or more of something that you provide. And don't get me wrong. I think number one, the church's goal should be to bring people in and equip them to serve in the community around them.
Yeah.
So number one, if you're a church member and you attend a church, the number one focus and the number one mission of that church is to feed you, it is to grow that person. They should be getting fed on a regular basis to be able to grow enough that when the time is right for them, when they're spiritually sound or whatever it may be, that they can help serve the community around them. Okay, apply that to a special service. Are we doing a special service to help the community around us or feed the people who are coming? It can't be both. I don't think it can be both. It has to be one or the other. And you can't feed, you know, we may be very skeptical and say entertain or whatever, but I mean, I'm sure people get something out of it. You know, you can't feed people and then turn around and expect to win all these souls to Christ. Number one, that's not your job or duty, and you shouldn't be keeping count of it. Number two, that's the Holy Spirit's job.
Right.
That's his sole job, you know, is to do that, not you.
Right.
And number three, why? Just ask why.
Yeah.
Why are we doing what we're doing? You know?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with, I love programs.
Yeah.
I love them. I love seeing a story. I love theater. I love acting. I love all of that. But I don't like false intentions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see the Easter story. I want to see the Passion story. It's an emotional story. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a sunrise service. Mm-hmm. I want all of these things. But what's the intention? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to go to something, why am I there? And why are they doing what they're doing? You know, I think that's what it falls on is, what are your intentions? And if your intentions are numbers, or if your intentions are whatever, say your intentions are feeding those loyal members of your church and their family members and helping them grow, and then leave the altar call mm-hmm. out of it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have some argue that anytime you have a chance, you should give an invitation, but that's not your job.
No,
it's not your job.
It's kind of overkill too.
It is.
The story of Jesus and the Easter and, the Passion story, all that, people are so familiar with that. I don't think people like to admit that the world doesn't know the full story of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean,
a majority of them do, though. Let's be honest.
I would say the majority do know it.
Especially the day and age that we live in.
When you have, this is now the third special I've seen in the last 5 years on the History Channel.
Yeah.
And listen, they don't stick to the mainstream Christianity evangelical thing. Mm-hmm. Like they talk about, oh, Luke writes in his gospel that, you know, they had to travel to Bethlehem. Well, that's probably not historically correct. Mm-hmm. Luke was trying to do this or blah, blah, blah. So they're not sticking to oh, this is all God breathed and it's all true. They're not sticking to that.
Yeah.
And not everyone who watches the History Channel is a Christian.
No.
You know?
And a lot of people watched The Passion of the Christ when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
So that movie was so popular. I mean, it broke all kind of records at the box office. So people know the story. And you know what's funny, though, is there's I've heard many people say that they don't agree with The Passion of the Christ. One of the main reasons being is because Mel Gibson is Catholic.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how can a Catholic have the right story about Jesus? Yeah,
how can that ever happen? I don't know. How can you have it?
Right.
Baptist person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, shut the
But that's front what it door. Is. It's denomination against denomination. And like, we're right, you're wrong.
It goes back to we have it figured out and you don't.
Right.
I'm a Methodist and what we do is correct. Or yeah. I'm a Calvinist and this is the way it is. Shut your face.
Yeah. It's the day and age we live in. Maybe, yeah, dude, 50 years ago, no access to the internet, no access to the outside world, hardly. I mean.
Yeah, gosh, I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Like,
I wouldn't even say 50 years ago. Let's just say the 80s.
Right, yeah.
This would, to have.
Right, 50 years ago. I'm so good at math.
Math and things.
And things.
636 60-mile radius passion stories would be the way to go.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have the information out there. You don't have the access to it. So, yeah.
I can find thousands of articles about the story of Jesus dying on the cross.
Definitely.
At my fingertips right now. While we record this.
I didn't even think about the time frame of things.
Right.
And that might be a problem. That might be people are just stuck in the past.
Overload, man.
Stuck in the past. Well,
and it's an overload of information. It just again and again and again. I like to think of it like Marvel's approach to telling the story of Spider-Man. Okay?
Okay.
Bear with me. So the first Spider-Man movie. Let's tell you the backstory of Spider-Man.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Like Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Okay.
Sam Raimi, Spider-Man.
Gotcha.
Let's tell the story of Spider-Man. Never been on the big screen before. Here's the story of Uncle Ben dies. Great power comes great responsibility. Okay, great. Three movies later, we scrap that. Oh, let's reboot Spider-Man. Backstory. Here comes Spider-Man. Uncle Ben dies. Great power comes great responsibility. Blah, 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 blah. Two movies in, scrap that one. Marvel finally gets the rights back to Spider-Man. Are we going to tell the story? Nah, people know that.
People know that.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know the story. They know the story about Batman's parents dying in the alleyway. You know what I mean? These are stories that people know. They just know it. And they have. And we have access to it.
They might not know every integral detail of it. But they don't need to at first.
Yeah. So tell them, stress the important. Okay, I found something. Four main points that I think that preachers should take or a person who attends church, when they leave that church on Easter Sunday, there needs to be four main points that they're asking themselves or taking into perspective when they walk out of there. Okay, ready? Determine your hope for the future.
Whoa.
Define your perspective of your past. Deliver peace for your present and defy death in your eternity.
That is, wow.
There you go. Did I get all that from, you know,
the kids doing?
The kids doing, you know, and God bless them. That's great. And if they want to do it, that's awesome. Who am I to say that they shouldn't do it?
Right.
I'm just stressing my own personal opinion about it.
Sure. And that's all I'm doing as well. That's all we're doing.
That's all this whole podcast is.
We're not saying we're right.
Right. We're not convincing you one way or another. No. This is our own personal.
We're thinking out loud.
Right.
And talking about it.
Yeah.
Because, man, that's where things come from, is being able to talk about things. And if I'm wrong about something, man, I want to talk to someone about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's exchange ideas and information and opinions. Unlike, I recently had a conversation with someone who everything I was saying was like, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Okay. I don't want to talk to you anymore because you apparently know everything and there's no way, shape or form you and I can have an intelligent conversation because you have all the knowledge and I have none of it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about this, and I don't think we could be completely missing the mark on this, but the way I feel about it. And when you brought up the timing of things, if we go back to the 80s, I think it's very relevant to put on a passion performance or to have an in-depth reading of. But I think we're beyond that now. I think we're past it.
We're way past it.
And I think I would dare to say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, are the people who are still doing that living in the past and irrelevant? I don't know. You know, I mean, that's a question for them to ask themselves. And then it all goes back to what's our intention behind doing what we're doing.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
So take it how you want. This is, again, our own personal beliefs on what we think would be more effective for an Easter.
Yeah, not even
service.
What we think. It's not even concrete. We're just talking about it.
I'm no pastor.
No. No.
I'm nowhere near that level, you know?
Yeah.
This is just how I've learned to approach my relationship with God lately, is just ask more questions.
Right.
Don't go with the flow of everything.
Right.
I mean,
no, I went with the flow of everything and it ended up horrible for me spiritually. And I'm now in a place where I can say I am the closest I have ever been with God.
I'm the
happiest I've ever been.
Me too. Same point blank period right there with you. And one, my heart goes out to anyone who feels like that a church, like your buddy, a church ruined, you know, Christ for him altogether.
Yeah.
I've heard people make comments like, hey, are you going to church? Nah, not really my thing.
Yeah, not my thing.
Or I've heard the story.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, over and over and over again. Not my thing. Okay, churches, take note. Just because, like, listen, take note of that because that is your target.
Yeah, and let's compare this to business. You know, there's a reason why supported businesses, consumer supported businesses, are growing and booming and taking the place of a traditional business. Music, for example.
Yeah.
You know, crowdfunding, GoFundMe, Patreons, things like that.
Yeah.
What they're doing is the people who maintain the business are saying, okay, consumer, okay, person who's interested in what I'm doing, you get to support me directly, and the content I give you is reflected straight towards you. It is, I take who Blake is, or I take who the people who are interested in what I'm doing, and the content I do is directed directly at you. And by doing that, you are supporting me. The churches should follow that business model. Okay, America. Okay, Sumter, South Carolina.
Yeah.
what do you want?
Yeah.
Now let's, this is what I have to offer. This is what you want. I am going to gear my product, my church, my message towards what you want in a biblical manner.
Yeah.
That way everyone's happy. But instead, mm-hmm. we let tradition and comfortableness and passiveness take control. And it all comes back to rich white dudes with power.
They're the worst.
They don't want to relinquish the power.
Yeah. Church is about community. Church is about growing the message of Christ, the message of Christ, okay? The story is essential. It's a big part of it, and people need to know the story, especially if you're going to follow Christ.
Definitely.
Yes, you need to know the story, but the message of Christ is so very important. So that community, that the outpouring into, because listen, take those people in, pour out to the community, pour out to the people who are coming here, because not everyone is going to stay there forever. Listen, they're going to branch off and they're going to go do other things, and they're going to spread the kingdom because that's the freaking point.
Yeah. I was just reminded of our friend's church in Florida, Action Church.
Yeah.
They did for Christmas, they did a Greatest Showman themed Christmas story.
Cool.
I mean, how out of the box is that?
Listen, Travis had the idea years ago to do an 80s hair metal Christmas theme. And everyone told him it was a ridiculous idea. And I said, buddy, that's amazing. And one day someone's going to look back on this and realize you were a genius.
That might be a little bit ridiculous.
No, it's not. It is genius. And he should do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, it does bother me that, man, I look at that example that I just gave you, the Action Church down in Florida, doing that.
Yeah.
Thinking outside the box, bucking tradition, you know, not doing what is expected of a church to do. And, man, you know, I would guarantee, no, not guarantee, I'd be willing to bet, show me a church that has had a pastor for 10 years or more. And, you know, that pastor's probably in their 50s or 60s or 70s, whatever.
Yeah.
10 years or more. He's been pastoring that church for 10 years or more. You go up to that man and you say, I'll give you $5 million to leave your church today.
Yeah.
And hand it over to someone else.
Wow.
I would say a vast majority of those men would not do that.
No.
Because they don't want to give up the power.
Right. Rich white dudes. Well, okay. Do you have anything else that you want to wrap up?
No, I
with
don't.
That,
I like programs. I like the Passion Story. I like going and sitting and watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Just kidding. I do like them. I think it's time. We're at a time in this world, this crazy world that we live in. We just need to start reevaluating things. I think we're taking a lot of wrong approaches. We're all stuck in the past. It's time to just, you know.
80s hair band.
I think that's a great idea. Because then they can do the Trans-Siberian Orchestra version of Carol of the Bells, and it fits. That might have been where that sparked the idea for them. But anyway, so there you go. I don't know how you guys are planning on attending church this Easter, if you plan on attending church. And guess what? If you don't, it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's not.
I plan on attending church.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure the church I'm going to has a special
service. Yeah, I'm sure they do. And
I'm going to take part in it. But
totally,
you know,
fine.
What I'm saying? Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's
all good. All right. Brian, what are you listening to?
Social Club Misfits.
Yeah.
What? Who? Is that mine?
That's yours. Old ding-a-ling.
I was about to yell at you.
No, it's not me. My phone is on vibrate, sir. Thank you.
Anyway, Social Club Misfits just dropped a new EP, and we were talking before the show.
Yeah,
that's the way to go now.
That is the way to go. A lot of bands and rappers and a lot of people are doing the EP thing now. I don't know because I've never distributed music before, but to me it seems like it's easier to get together, do like 5 or 6 songs and release that.
Yeah.
And then later on in the year, do another 5 or 6 songs rather than taking, I guess the approach is like it takes forever to record and produce an album.
Yeah, definitely.
And the preparation for that is probably a lot. And that's probably why album sales have
plummeted,
declined. Yeah. But EPs, people will buy an EP in a heartbeat because it's only like $4 or $5, you know? So I'm all for it. I think it's cool. It's a good way to get the music industry booming again.
Yeah. Well, so here is the new Social Club Misfits. Here's a track out from there.
Let's hear it.
From their EP.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time. I don't want to tie, I need to win it every time. They want to connect, bet I know the reason why.
Yeah.
I lost a couple friends, we gon' celebrate their lives.
Yeah.
Every time, yeah, every time. If we pop up in your city, we gon' shut it down. I gotta rep the squad, even if I'm out of town. My circle extra small, yeah, we don't play around. You know how we do it every time. Every time, yeah, we are not the same as a disconnect. These rappers bond chains with chains around their neck.
Whoa.
I do it for the people who got nothing left. And if I did it for the money, I would probably quit. That's real though. Lately I've been feeling insecure. I wanna make the music people can't ignore. And talking to God's feeling more like a chore. I can't go back to the way things were before. Feel like I'm stuck here, running out of luck here. Success equals love here, but that don't mean too much, yeah. Find a piece inside of me, self-fulfilling prophecy until they see the God in me. Every time, I don't wanna tie, I need to win it every time. They wanna connect, bet I know the reason why.
Yeah.
I lost a couple friends, we gon' celebrate their lives.
Yeah.
Every time, yeah, every time.
I like that a lot. Yeah. I haven't heard anything from the new EP.
It's good.
Took Alec to go see them. Me and Allie took him. Man, that was a good show.
Yeah.
Him and Andy Mineo, Words Played.
I wanted to go.
God, it was so good. Well, you know what show we can go to?
Blake, what are you listening to?
Amberlin is touring again. And they're actually coming to Charlotte. So that got me all excited.
We need to take Chris.
Yeah, we do. Oh my God, he would love that.
Yeah,
yep. Let's tell him about that. So Amberlin has been a staple in the Christian music scene, but they were so very different from a lot of those Christian bands of that time. So I loved Amberlin, and so they're touring again. It got me listening to them.
Do they have new stuff out?
Not new stuff as far as I know. I guess they're just playing the classics. So one of my favorite Amberlin songs. I love it. One of my favorite classic Amberlin songs is called Breaking. So that's what I chose for this week. So here you go, Breaking by Amberlin.
I love that.
I do too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
them. I really would love to see them. I hate that we didn't go to the Emery's show where they were reuniting. So.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a message on the Instas. One of our listeners sent us some pictures that Target of some books that Target is selling.
Oh God!
That's like the story of Easter. God gave us Easter and stuff like that. And she said, "I thought you guys would enjoy these Easter books sold at Target. My husband and I love your podcast, and thank you guys for helping us to open our eyes and to do our research." Robot Dave is so happy. Yes, Robot Dave. Look at him. He's so happy, Brian. He's just
no.
He's
I'm just not, I'm not going there with you.
What?
No.
Not
I'm
going
not,
there
I'm not
with
doing
me?
A robot shtick with you.
Brian, they're taking over. Did you see the video of
That's why I'm not going there with
Robot
you.
Dave is a follower of Christ. He's not gonna he's not gonna
robots have souls?
Yes. Oh, of course they do. Come on, man.
All robots good at
yeah, well.
Robot.
So thank you, Brianna. For the pictures of the Target books. That's really awesome. Good. So, all right.
Well, that's all I got.
Yep, that's all I got too. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to the Not Religious podcast. You can find us on the Twitter and the Facebook and the Instagram. All you have to do is just search for Not Religious podcast. You can leave a rating and a review on wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll read it here on the show, whether it's good or bad. We are a part of the Coming Right Up Network, and you can catch us on comingrightup.org every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. And while you're there, go ahead and check out all the other great shows that they have to offer, because they are sweet. All right?
Yep. Be nice to one another.
See you guys next week. Hey guys, this is Blake.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to tell you about another great sponsor of the Not Religious podcast, and that is The Found Sheep. If you head on over to thefoundsheep.net right now, you can check out their great collection of hats, beanies, shirts, sweatshirts, things like that. Their hats are especially, especially dope. Am I right, Brian?
You are right on
point. That's right. And why don't you go ahead and tell them about their outreach there?
Yeah, so everything that they create is designed to point souls to Jesus and to remind believers that he is our good shepherd. Man, goodness. They give 10% of all of their profits to the local church, and another 10% provides outreach to people who serve in need all around the world.
Well, I'll be doggone.
That's right.
That's awesome.
An apparel company with a mission.
That's exactly right. Go check out their stuff. They got really neat stuff. And we also have a neat little promo code for all of our listeners today.
That's
Brian,
right.
What's that promo code?
If you type in not religious, that's not religious in all caps, after you fill your little goodie basket up with all of your merch, guess what? You'll get 10% off.
Woo! Heck yeah, dude.
That's just for our listeners. So thank you guys. Go ahead and check them out on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and help support thefoundsheep.net.
Boom. Boom.